And we're at the point now in this book where Paul's starting his second missionary journey. And so we're talking about mission work. Amen? So it's very fitting and apropos for to be preaching about mission work and then having someone coming in to give us a message about mission work. Amen? And so there are still many missionaries in the church today. Amen? There's many missionaries out there all over the world, all over our country. And our guest today, Brother Zippy Dirks, his wife, and the Ministry of Urban Outreach, Phoenix, they're definitely called for God's purpose of missionary work, not only in Arizona, but all over the U.S. Amen? They're in a lot of different places, and Brother Zippy will talk about that as well. So he's going to be sharing with us today what their ministry is all about, all the amazing things that they've been doing, and all the things that they've done for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so they help a lot of churches, a lot of ministries, but I'll let Brother Zippy talk about that. But our goal as a church at Amazing Grace is to start partnering with their organization, to work together with them, amen, so that as the body of Christ, we can reach more and more people, amen? So, you know,
can you hear me? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So she is far beyond my expectation. When we first met, it was really funny because the Lord spoke to me right in that moment and said, this is your wife. And it was just comical because I said, God, she looks like a Barbie. I look like I just got out the joint. Like, this is never going to work out. And God is just amazing. Amen. And if you believe that, say amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. So we have 5 children. I am in the process of adopting my oldest child, who is 13. God blessed me with children, 5 of them. And I have 4 girls and a boy. Now, I'm going to share this with y'all. You got grandkids, you got kids, you know, maybe in high school. Tell the boys to be nice to the women, because God has a way of restoring things and having a sense of humor. So I have a 13-year-old girl. Keep me in prayer. I have a set of twins that are 8. They just had a birthday on the 4th. My oldest's birthday is October 23rd. Then I have a 5-year-old whose birthday is October 24th. And then I have a 3-year-old whose birthday is 4-3-2-1. That is my liftoff child. And she is something else. And it's just absolutely incredible that God blessed us with that. Just a little bit about me. I was not brought up in church. My wife is a PK. I could spit on my neighbor. That's how close we were. I lived in the hood. My wife lived on the last house on the right. And then on 170 acres. So when I first met her family, I said, Lord, you let me go through all these things in life to have a blonde hair, blue eyed country girl take me out. I said, she caught me out here to kill me because you go down a 1/2 mile gravel driveway and she lives in the old, she was raised in an old farmhouse. There's no society around her. I'm like, this is how I'm going out. Hope it's worth it. But it's been an incredible journey. It has not been an easy journey, but it's been a worth every bit of it. Amen. And I want to share with y'all a little bit so you understand where we come from. And then I'm going to talk about what God has done through Urban Outreach Phoenix. So I was never supposed to have children. In 2010, I overdosed and died. I was dead for 30 minutes. And there, I got to the hospital and something told, which we know today is the Holy Spirit, spoke to one of the nurses and told him to shoot me with adrenaline. It wasn't the first shot. It wasn't the second shot. It was the third shot of adrenaline that they pumped into me that brought me back to life. What's ironic about three? There's life, there's death, and there's resurrection. And on the third shot of adrenaline, I came back to life. I wasn't brain damaged. I was already missing screws to begin with, so that's neither here nor there. And things were loose and gone, amen? And I love drugs and alcohol in that point of my life. And living a chaotic street life and all everything is a part of that lifestyle. And when I woke up, they told me I had stage 2 cancer. And I only had a 27% chance of living. I had a rare childhood cancer called PNET sarcoma. And there was only 27% chance. So I went through a year of chemotherapy. After I went through a year of chemotherapy, I thought I was some god. I thought I had life. I was doing drugs while I was going through chemo. Like I was smoking crack and snorting cocaine in the hospital room. And drinking every weekend as soon as I got out of treatment. The following year, I had double hernias that ruptured behind the scar tissue. There was a piece of fat covering a hole. And that's what stopped my body from going into septic shock. Well, they put an IV in me that ended up getting infected, and I got sepsis anyways, and that almost killed me. It didn't kill me, obviously, because I'm here. So I thought I was invincible. Well, the following year, I'm homeless. All my great ideas. I went from walking around with $10,000, $15,000 in my pocket with a lot of drugs to I'm homeless, living on a riverbank. Had the same clothes on for a week without a shower, and I got kicked out of every bar, restaurant, and store in Newport, Covington, Kentucky. Even the eat-free places, they banned me out of them. And I was on a riverbank, and I pulled the trigger 5 times to a 38. Didn't go off. I held out to the Cincinnati skyline. It went off twice, scared me, threw the pistol in the river, got sober the next day, and been sober ever since. That was May 16, 2012. I cussed at a God I didn't believe in. I knew there was a God, but I didn't believe in God. And I cussed him out. Next 16 months, I was involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the furthest thing I wanted to hear was the name of Jesus. 2 weeks before I got saved, I told a preacher at a church, I said, you mention that name around me one more time, I'm going to break your jaw. Simple as that. And after their group left, one person stood behind. He goes, Zippy, I don't care if you hit me or not. I don't care if you beat me to death. You're going to say yes to Jesus, and you're going to like it. And you know what? 2 weeks later, I walked into a discipleship gym, and the man who I've been looking for 12 years was within a one-mile radius of me at all times. He was my football coach in 8th grade. That man led me to the Lord. I said yes to Jesus. If I would have died before that time, I'd be spending eternity in hell. Not because Jesus didn't love me, but because I rejected the truth and knowledge of who he is. People gave me the gospel, and I gave them something else. That's why we can't give up on people. We got to keep praying. Intercession is the key to open up hope for somebody else. There were a lot of people praying for me. One man was a Baptist preacher, and he came up there and prayed with me. And when he was my boss, and he walked outside in his car. I didn't know this till years later. He said, God, if you ever get a hold of that boy, that man's going to change lives for your glory. And he was out in his car crying, and I never knew about this until a few years ago. When I'm telling you, you never know the power of your prayer and the authority of the prayer that God allows you to speak. There is a reason and purpose for it. There is a reason and a purpose. God has blessed us with a bunch of misfits, and I love it. They got felonies. They're former drug addicts, alcoholics. They're the last people anybody would ever want to point to and say, you know what? That is a powerful man of God right there. No, that is not. And I'm like, give him here. We'll take him. And God's multiplied everything. But see, when we said yes to the call of God on our life, we didn't understand what it was going to cost us. I didn't share this in first service. I'm going to share it here because I want y'all to understand. It hasn't always been flourishing. It hasn't always been fruitful. As a matter of fact, there was times in our walk where I didn't want nothing to do with ministry. As a matter of fact, I questioned my faith. Many times. In 2020, I went through the worst season of my life. It was worse than going through chemotherapy. I mean, it was horrible. It was worse than being homeless. It was worse than every relationship I've ever been in. In 2020, back up a little bit, Memorial Day weekend 2019, my brother-in-law got killed in a freak motorcycle accident. We left Florida. I came back home, went to work that Monday. They suspended me for 2 weeks, put me on a final warning, and demoted me from a supervisor to an agent. I didn't so much as have an infraction in 2.5 years. There was things going on in upper management. So it was either their job or mine. And it was mine. We get to December 31st, 2019. I left for work early for some reason that day. And the Lord spoke to me once again. He said, in 2020, you're going to have a vulnerable year, but I'm going to bring you through it. Well, I automatically went to rebuke mode. Absolutely not, the devil. You are a liar. I do not receive that. I rebuke that. So I automatically went and called one of the leaders in the men group I was a part of. And I said, Greg, and I want you to understand, Greg, anybody know any introverts in here? Strong introverts, like the thought of them interrupting, they would much rather like somebody kill them than interrupt and somebody put a focus on them. This is how Greg was. And I said, Greg, man, I just got to talk to you, man. I got to vent. I got to share something. I need prayer. And before I even got into it, he goes, hold on, Zip, I don't mean to interrupt you. Greg hasn't interrupted nobody his whole life, I don't think. And he goes, I feel like God's speaking to me to tell you something. I said, well, what's up? Because I need a word. He said, you're going to have a vulnerable year in 2020, but God's going to bring you through this. I got mad. He had no idea what I was about to talk to him about. I got mad. So I got to get off here. I got to go into work. So what I do what every good believer and follower of Jesus does. I call somebody else. So I called up the man who discipled me. I said, Kev, and Kev was filled with the Holy Ghost that morning. And he said, Zip. He said, I got to let you know something before you even say anything. I said, talk. He goes, I got a word from the Lord for you. I need to share it with you. I said, tell me, Kev. I said, because I need a good word because right now I'm struggling. He said, in 2020, God, he said, you are going to go through a hard season. You're going to be, and he kept saying, I'm like, what is he talking about? He goes, you're going to have a vulnerable year in 2020, but God will bring you through it. Click. Hung up on him. I was furious. I was mad that whole day. Had one of the best days I ever had at work, but I was miserable. And finally, at the end of the shift, I said, you know what, God, if this is what you need, then so be it. Let it be so. I just accepted it. I was mad. And I didn't know what I was actually agreeing to. Now, I said 2020 was one of the worst years of my life. Me and my wife went through the hardest season of our life. This is how the first 4 months went. We lost a set of twins. I got furloughed at work. My wife couldn't pass the baby, so she had to get a D&C done. I about got in a fight with the doctor because he said, well, we have to have an abortion. I said, I'll break your face if you ever say that word around me again. I didn't know that's the name for the procedures of stuff. I'm like, and my pastor, thank God he was there, had to go and explain to him the mindset I was in. And this is things we don't stand for. And we're leaving the hospital. My sister calls me. Her sister-in-law, perfectly healthy 40-year-old nurse, went home to take a nap because she was having migraines and never woke up. She had a brain aneurysm and died. Beginning of April, Holy Spirit spoke to me and my wife again. Says, you're about to leave. I ain't about to go nowhere. Don't have a job. We lost a set of twins. My dad's dying. I said, my sister's sister-in-law just died. And now you're going to tell me I'm about to leave. I'm arguing with God. But the thing me and my wife kept saying is, Jesus, you have to be the center. Jesus, you have to be the center. It was hard. I promise that stuff don't bother me. I do inner city ministry. I've dodged bullets. So what ended up happening, April 7th, my dad died. My brother showed up that night, relapsed on heroin. And I finally look up and I said, vulnerability. That's not what God was telling me, vulnerable. He was talking about my heart needed to be vulnerable to him. So there were situations that he allowed to happen. And I didn't understand that till the end of 2020. Well, before we got ready to leave, we found out where my wife was pregnant again. And that is our three-year-old. And we're sitting there reading, and I'm in one room and she's in the other. And God's made it clear as day. We're in Joshua. The story of AI. Talking about the things in the middle of the tent that weren't supposed to be there. He says, if you take anything outside of that 6x12 trailer, it will be cursed. I said, ain't no way I'm telling my wife that. She is pregnant. And women who've been pregnant, you get your emotions are a little bit up here. I'm not telling my wife that. I said, God, you're going to have to speak to her. You've lost your mind. I'm telling the Lord this. This is just me being genuine with you all. So once again, he spoke it to me a second time in about 2 minutes. So I'm in one room. She's in the other. I said, honey, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm just reading the word. I walk outside and I held my Bible up like this. I said, what are you reading? We were reading the same exact scripture at the same exact time. And I told her, I said, we can't take nothing unless it fits in that 6x12 trailer. She goes, okay, if that's what the Lord wants. Before we left, we had a car. God spoke to us again, says, you need to give that car away. I said, I'm not giving that car away. Are you crazy? I got 4 kids. I got to go across country. We need that car. Did I need that car or did I need Jesus? And I said, God, I ain't telling my wife that. He says, I'm going to give her a name. Now, her brother lived with us for a few years, and he was wayward and old prodigal son. Amen. And what ended up happening was this. I said, God, no. When he said my wife will give me a specific name, I said, all right. So me, I'm working up the courage to talk to my wife because she's further along in the pregnancy. And I'm like, oh, this is so bad. This is so bad. I went, honey. She went, what is it? I'm like, you got to give away the car. And she goes, Uriah. I said, oh, my goodness. Because she always calls her brother Bub, UD. She never calls him by his name. She goes, I don't know why I just said that. I'm like, we got to give the car to Uriah. Why? Because God says she's going to give me a specific name. And it just happened. We haven't heard from him in 6 weeks. Pulls up on a motorcycle out of the blue. First thing, he comes in. We let him in. He's mad at the world. Grateful we let him in. And this is what he says. He goes, yeah, I got to get ready to put the bike in the shop. I got this job coming up. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I said, by any chance, would you need a car? He goes, yeah, I was just praying on the way here, and I'm tired of praying. I'm like, okay. I said, well, come pick it up Friday. It's yours. He said, are you serious? I said, I'm dead serious. Like, I have to give you that car. We kept saying yes to Jesus, regardless of our situation, regardless of the season we were in, regardless of how hard it was, we keep saying yes to Jesus. Now, I mean, he's living a pretty good life. He's engaged. He had another child. Who would have known? What would happen? Just by somebody saying yes to Jesus. Now, I told you we had to leave everything behind. So when we got to Phoenix, I said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. 6x12 trailer, 4 kids, pregnant wife. Church, can I tell you right now that when we showed up, our whole house was furnished except for the exact things that were in that 6x12 trailer. Don't tell me God don't speak. You'll never convince me that God ain't into the details. You'll never convince me that God ain't real. You'll never convince me that he don't show up. It's going to look a little bit out of logical reasoning. But when we serve Jesus in his kingdom, you get kingdom results. And then we fast forward. We sat underneath a man for a year. October 2021, we take over. Urban Outreach Phoenix. I said by the end of the year, half of y'all are going to leave. Beginning of 2022, we had 20 people. 9 of them lived in my house. And we had about 45, 50 kids in the ministry. Still a lot of kids, but not when you're running 75, 80. Took a huge hit. And they said, Zippy. They said, Pastor, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to pray. And they said, okay. But, I mean, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to pray some more. Like, well, what are we going to do after we pray? I said, you ready? They said, yeah. I said, we're going to pray some more. And we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray. I said, at the beginning of service, we're going to be at the altars, laying it at his feet. We're going to pray. At the middle of service, we're going to pray. At the end of service, we're going to pray. I said, because God's house is a house of prayer. So we're going to pray and pray. And when we took over, I said, God, I want servants. I said, I need servants. I don't want leaders. People who come in as leaders, for some reason, the way the flesh works, they come in as leaders. I'm up here, you're down here. I said, no, God, send me servants. And have y'all ever said a prayer before and you really didn't understand what you were asking for? But God was going to show up and give you exactly what you were asking for? So we prayed, and from the time I got out here, I was working with this guy named Eugene. Now, Eugene is polar opposite of me. All right, he's a very strong introvert. And speaking out loud isn't his strength. So the first time I ever asked him to open up a service, he's up there, he gets the mic, and he's doing this, scared to death. Because all these people are looking at him, he goes, thank you for the service, in Jesus' name, amen. Runs down, hops off, and he goes, how'd I do? I said, Eugene, you did great. Eugene calls me up that night. Now remember, he's a, that's about how loud he talks with the microphone. So you take a microphone away from him, like you literally have to almost put your ear up to his mouth to hear him. So quiet. And Eugene calls me, goes, hey. He yelled at me. I was laughing. He goes, bro, that was terrible. Why didn't you tell me? I said, Eugene, you would have passed out if I would have told you. But now Eugene, he got married to a woman in the ministry. Eugene leads our Glendale campus, which is like our main campus. Eugene's preaching the gospel. He's leading outreach teams. He's building up more leaders. They just started a discipleship class. That happens because we took a risk and a chance with somebody. And we prayed for a servant, and Eugene has a servant's heart. He just wants to serve the people to glorify God. He's doing incredible now. Then beginning 2023, I said, God, which direction are we going? Because at the end of 2022, he blessed us with this couple, Craig and Rebecca Gomez, who runs our Southside campus. They're coming up on their 2-year anniversary. They started to celebrate recovery down there. That's acknowledged by the state. They've went in and got downtown at Cass as a chaplain, a volunteer chaplain down there. They went from 10 people a couple months ago. They're running 50-plus people now in like 2 months. Why? Because they're right where God wants them. They're leading teams down there. They're raising up people. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus and his kingdom. In the beginning of 2023, I said, God, which direction? Am I getting my gym? Or are we launching another campus? I went into a fast for, I thought it was going to be maybe a week. Well, then we're 2 weeks into it. Because they were saying, how long are you going to go into a fast for? I said, until God speaks to me and tells me where we're going. Well, didn't understand what I was praying for. We're 3 weeks into it. Now I'm starting to get irritable. Just keeping it real. 28 days is what it took. And Craig comes up. He goes, hey, do we need any weights? I said, perfect. I'm getting my gym. We end up getting the gym July or June of 2023. The end of 2023. I've been working with this guy for a couple years, and God wasn't done with just that. He said, Pastor Zippy, listen, I really feel like me and my wife are supposed to be with Urban Outreach. But see, it don't look like you're all structured, but I just feel like we're supposed to be part of it and be one of your ministry points. They minister to families on the east side of Phoenix. They have a house church. And a lot of people who are Hispanic understand about the Catholicism culture. Most of them don't even know why they're Catholic. Their grandparents were, and then my grandma and mom is, so I'm Catholic. It's like that's not really how it works. So they're ministering to these families, and they're getting 1, 2, 3 families at a time. And these people are like, well, that contradicts everything I've been taught. You're telling me I can pray to God myself? Yeah. And these families are getting radically set free, one family after another, after another, after another. And the Lord spoke to me when we took over, we're going to have 4 ministry points in 5 years with a discipleship gym. Well, God wasn't done. Because then, 2024, we already got the 4 plus the discipleship gym. We're going to be launching our 5th ministry point Tuesday in Apache Junction. We're going to have another ministry point. And church, I'm here to tell you, we ain't doing nothing special. I just read this book called the Bible. If it says I need to go out and make disciples to all nations, that means I need to make myself available and look for the opportunities. We miss so many opportunities every day because we don't pay attention to the opportunities that he's presented before us. We have to be available. There's 3 aspects of life, 3 aspects of ministry that he called me to challenge people to. 1 is missions. Give to missions. 2, have a growing kids youth ministry. You ain't pouring into the youth and kids. What's going to happen when the elders are gone? What's going to happen if the people never step up and raise up them kids and children? And 3, evangelism. Go teach people to knock on doors. Invite them to church. Go out into the community and pour into the people there. Then have events at the church and bring the people there. If you do these 3 things, your church has to grow. It's not will it or can it. It's like, when is it going to? But if we're not going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, then who's going to be the hands and feet of Jesus? I believe in everything in the Word of God. I love what God spoke to him in Jeremiah chapter 1 when he was talking about the branch of an almond tree. He says, God said, what do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see the branch of an almond tree. He says, you have seen correctly, for I oversee my word, ready to perform the works of my word. Are you applying God's word to your life, or are you just doing it inside the 4 walls? Because church is so much bigger than the 4 walls. Church is so much bigger than your covering. Church is so much bigger than the denomination. Church is so much bigger than what our minds allow us to process. It is a kingdom mindset, not a church mindset. It's a kingdom mindset, not a worldly mindset. Our minds have to get set on the things of heaven, the things of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If it's at hand, then just take it. He's given us access. He went back and took the keys from the gates of hell. Here are the keys to my kingdom. Just unlock it. Now, if I put this in a practical form and I say, Pastor, here, I want to give you $1 million. How many of us would be like, no, don't talk to me like that. I don't want that. What? I want to give you keys to eternity. That you're asking too much. You're asking too much. You're telling me I got to die to myself? You're telling me I have to put my life on the side? And I got to raise my hands in service for submission? It's not about us. It's about Jesus and his kingdom. Applying his word. He's ready for us. Well, I'm waiting on God. He's waiting on us. Church, we're not just in Arizona. We're in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're in St. Louis to the Bosnians, which has the largest Bosnian population outside of Bosnia, 80,000 and growing. We're in East St. Louis. We're in Washington Park. We're in Cleveland, Ohio. We're in Covington, Kentucky. We're in D.C. I want to be in Portland. We're getting ready to go up to Portland, Oregon next month and meet with the superintendent about launching in Portland, Oregon. The Southern Cal District, wants us to plant in East LA, Skid Row. They want us in Oakland and San Francisco, but we can't do it all. We got to raise up missionaries and send them. But that ain't going to happen unless the body of Christ comes together. Amen? 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 Because we keep bringing the unity in the body and we keep preaching the gospel message of the kingdom, the message is the kingdom, the ministry is the people. I don't think you heard me. The message that Jesus preached was the kingdom and is the kingdom. The ministry are the people. When we apply this, his word has to honor. God's word has to be put into effect. Why? Because his word tells us his word will never return void. So why not apply it? Get bold, get confident. Get bold. Our kids' ministry is running over 150 a week now. Kids and youth. I'm not talking about coming out of a nice area. I'm talking coming out of Glendale Manors. I'm talking about the BG apartments on 43rd and Thomas. The apartments down there on 19th and Dunlap. 55th and Maryland. 59th and Akatia. And these kids can't read. They can tell you how much drugs and everything else weigh. But at 8 o'clock in the morning, they're standing outside like this, waiting for that white van to come pick them up and take them to church because they know they can get Jesus. They know they're in a safe place. And they know that they need to be in the house of God. And we just share, you know, train up your children. Train them up. Train them up. Train them up. Our kids, every week, service starts. First thing they do, Pastor, get out of my way. Get out of my way. I got to get to the altar because I got to get in the presence of God. I got to get into the presence. Too many of us are worried about getting the pulpit. They're worried about getting their elevation. We need to get into the presence, get into his word, and absorb it and let the love overflow from our life. Let the fruit bear witness, not you. Beginning of service, they're at the altar. Middle of service, they're at the altar. End of service, they're at the altar. Come on, my 8-year-old Delilah, she'll put oil on her hands right before service starts, and she'll walk up to every last person, and she'll start praying. She don't care if you're a pastor, an apostle, a bishop. She don't care. I ain't worried about your title. You need Jesus. I said, you tell him, baby. And she walks up, and she goes, Holy Spirit, come into their life for this service. God, speak to them with boldness. She's 8. I didn't tell her to say that. She says, Dad, get out of my way. I got stuff to do. I'm like, go. I will never stop my kids from praying. I will never stop my kids from praising. I'll never stop them from worshiping. If they wake up at 11 o'clock at night, and she goes, I got to praise and pray, and I got to worship, baby, then you're going to go praise, pray, and worship. I don't care. They're starting to understand the importance behind all this. Last night, you know, I was getting ready to prepare them to go to bed and stuff. I said, all right, we got to get ready for bed. What do you want to do? She goes, we just need to praise Jesus. My 8-year-old twins and my 5-year-old went to praying and praising Jesus for 35 minutes straight and would not stop. They were singing the song Praise and I Thank God and Kureo NT. And I mean, they were not stopping. My daughter, she looks, she goes, Mom, we just got to dig in deeper in prayer. A 5-year-old said that. And I promise you, I'm the last person that you ever want to pick. I'm not that person. I wasn't brought up in church. But we teach our kids what this says because God said he's going to honor his word. He's going to honor his word. Don't worry about if they don't get it right. If kids are in, I would much rather kids be in here causing you a little bit of uncomfortability than be out in the streets. I would much rather kids come in here chit-chatting away because then we could teach them the right way to show reverence and holiness than being out there selling dope, running the streets. I would much rather us be able to pour into them. You got the wisdom. I don't know what it's like to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 40. I don't know what that's like. But I bet there's people in here that does. Well, I don't know what I can do. You can serve in the church. Prepare God's house for the people that are going to come in. That is just as important as those out in the streets ministering. It's just as important as pastor up here preaching the word. If they don't have a house to go to, then what? Where are we going to take them? Where are we going to take them? I'm going to share this story and invite Pastor up here. My 5-year-old Naomi. Naomi Grace, my personality child. And if you have a personality child, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So when we were transitioning from one location to the other, Naomi, we were doing our donations through our house, just dropping them, boom, 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 boom. And a brother named Juan Ferrara, Pastor Juan, he's from Chile, speaks about 15 words of English. And I love you, God bless you, or six of them. So I always had to get a translator on the phone. And, well, she comes up, and he comes up. He goes, Te amo, familia! I said, Te amo mucho, familia! And it's like, you sound white. I'm like, oh, I am. I don't know if this is mind-boggling, but... And what ended up happening is, Naomi, and I told you, she got personality. She got a little spunk to her. And she's frustrated at this point. And she goes, Dad, why is he talking like he's Spanish? I'm like, oh, my goodness. I said, thank God he has no idea what you just said. But I said, honey, he don't speak English really good. And he goes, oh, no, at the end, though, then he's just going 100 miles an hour. I'm like, I don't even know what he's saying, sis. So we get the translator on the phone. And, her hands are thrown. Anybody know little girls like that or even adults? She's throwing her hands. She goes, well, how are we going to talk to him? I said, well, I got a translator on the phone that's going to tell us everything. What are we going to do? I said, quit throwing your hands up. Like, it's all right. And I said, listen, honey. I said, this is what I want you to do. She goes, well, what's that? And her hands on her hip, front leg as stiff as a board. And she goes, well, what are we going to do, Dad? I said, do you remember that song, Creo en Ti? She goes, yeah. And she starts laughing and giggling because she thinks it's the funniest thing ever. I said, I want you to go up to Pastor Juan and start singing this. She goes, right now? I said, right now. She walks up and she goes, Pastor Juan. He goes, mija. And she goes, Rastibeto da la Gloria. He goes, oh, mija. I didn't know at that point in time. Follow me here. I didn't know at that point in time Pastor Juan was on the verge of giving up in ministry. I didn't know that he was ready to quit. I didn't know that was his favorite song. Creo en Ti, it means I believe in you, is like Amazing Grace in America for South America and Central America and Mexico. I didn't know this. They all taught me this stuff. I am clueless with a lot of things. So I had to get taught all this stuff. His eyes are watering up. Them two are like this now. Dad, I need you to call Pastor Juan. I miss him. It's like, I just don't call people like that. I should call him now. I'm like, all right. And you know, in July, he says, Zippy, can you bring Naomi here to sing that song with me in front of my congregation? She went there and they sang that song together. Every last person in that church got convicted. It's not about being Hispanic. It's not about only speaking Spanish. It's not about, I can't understand you. You can't understand me. When we make ourselves available for God to work through us and move through us, you will get a kingdom result. That whole church was up at the altar pleading God for forgiveness because they were looking at white people not understanding Spanish to, oh my goodness, look at what God has done through a child. He used a 5-year-old kid to speak to a 40-year-old man from Chile, and now those two are inseparable because it's a kingdom relationship, not a cultural indifference. It has to be about Jesus and his kingdom. And I shared this in the first service. I'm going to share it here. We don't have Spanish services. We don't have German services, black services, white services, Hispanic services. We have God services. There is a difference in church folks and God folks. And we need to be part of God's church, not the churchy church. Yeah. Can I do one more thing, Pastor? I really want to encourage everybody with this. Oh, my goodness. Because I know God, has God ever spoke to you and you've just been waiting, I need confirmation. Really what you're saying is I have a lot of doubt. I really don't want to move forward. I want to do this illustration real quick. This is a little bit out of structure. I'm running over my time a little bit. I want y'all to stand up real quick. for those of you that can. Now I want you to sit down. Come on. Why didn't nobody come up to the pastor? Why didn't nobody start praying to God and asking for confirmation? Not one person asked if that chair was going to hold him. Not one person asked for confirmation whether a chair was going to hold him if they sat down. See, we'll ask for 5,000 confirmations from God because our faith is lacking, but the faith in the chair has just been revealed that it's stronger than our faith in God. Church, can we be encouraged today to start doing something just a little bit different? If everybody in here brought three people to church next week, everybody say three. Does everybody in here know three people that live in this city that isn't saved? If you know three people that aren't saved, raise your hand. Well, the couple that didn't raise your hand, we got to get you outside these walls a little more. Bring three people and not a single seat in here will be empty. That's how important it is. Our faith has to be greater than our fear. And we just express all of our faith can grow just a little bit more. Amen. If we believe in God's word, he has to fulfill his word. Amen. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm going to invite you back up here. Thank you all. I love y'all and God bless you. You want this?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay. That's all right, Brother Zippy. Thank you for sharing today.